the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday, after I had used my pieces of granite and sandstone as visual aids in my sermon, people queued up to tell me that most of Bern is built of sandstone too. And indeed, the scaffolding on the Münsterturm bears eloquent witness to the point that I was making. Jesus' words in today's reading from Matthew's Gospel are very much in the same vein. I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, the granite if you like, and have revealed them to infants, the sandstone. The ones called and chosen by God are often the ones the world least expects. In that same reading, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." Those are the ones to whom the gospel is proclaimed. Blessed Mary sang, "He has put down the mighty from their seats. He has lifted up the poor and the humble and the meek." Those are the ones to whom the gospel is proclaimed. And similarly, the prophet Zechariah in our first reading envisages the Messiah not as a king coming with all the trappings of majesty, but humble and riding on a donkey. St. Paul, too, in our second reading this morning, writes about his helplessness, being unable to do what he wants and doing what he does not want. It reminds me a bit of Irma, our latest granddaughter. She can now turn over onto her tummy. But once she's there, she's stuck, often with one arm sort of wedged underneath her body, and she doesn't know what to do to get herself out of it. That's what St. Paul was describing too, and that's what it's like being an infant, without speech, without control of one's actions. And it is to such as these that God has revealed his kingdom. Children, as we know, can be open and direct, alarmingly so at times. But as we grow older and allegedly wiser, other things get in the way. We fail to see God's kingdom in our midst as a result. Just like the people listening to Jesus, who were satisfied neither with him nor with John the Baptist. Now, I could have developed this sermon on dour Calvinist lines and talked about humanity's utter helplessness, about our total dependence on God. I was tempted, but I resisted. Yes, obviously, we are reliant on God's grace, and our possessions, including our mental faculties, can get in the way of seeing his kingdom if we do not use them for his glory. But we do not tell the whole story if we major only on our helplessness. You see, I don't know about Switzerland, but in Britain and certainly in Scotland, the church has a reputation for telling people they are unworthy, helpless, miserable sinners. And all this doom and gloom is a huge turn-off. Lots of people are looking for ways to express the spiritual dimension that they know is there in their lives. But they don't find this in church because of all this doom and gloom that's around. And so they take up with the latest guru or construct some pick and mix spirituality that ranges from plain froth to the frankly dangerous. To combat this, We need to point to what is good about God's creation, to why the gospel is good news, which, yes, he has revealed to infants, but not to keep us in infantile dependence, but to enable us to grow to the fullness of the riches of the glory of God. You see, God created us in his own image. That is the very first thing the Bible has to say about us human beings. We are created in God's image. And no matter how much that image has got tarnished, God still sees the image within us and is constantly at work to make it shine clear again. He can even take our mistakes and our failings and transform them to bring new life. I referred last week to Peter, the soft, crumbly sandstone who became the rock on which Jesus built his church. It was Peter's faith, his recognition of Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, that was the true bedrock of this transformation. And similarly, last Thursday was the feast of the Apostle Thomas, the one who has gone down in history as Doubting Thomas. But again, there's far more to him than that. He could have been like the ones in today's reading, who could believe neither in John the Baptist nor in Jesus. But no, the risen Jesus met Thomas where he was and transformed his doubts into faith. And that faith, so tradition tells us, took him as far as India, where he too proclaimed the gospel and built the church. And so the kingdom is revealed to the weary and the humble, to babes and infants. But God does not leave us in that state. He takes what he finds in us so that we will grow in faith. And as we do, he will do great things in us. And so to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most justly due, all honor, might, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever. Amen.